Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. I don't live my life by Twitter, but I'm going to use Twitter to kind of help me with part of this segment here. So, Buyer, could you do me a favor? I know you're really busy, so if you can, just go like, I can't, Doug. I actually have a job.
Okay. I am available at this second.
Okay. I tweeted out this video of Mario Cristobal lighting into one of his wide receivers who... pretty close. It was a closer than should have been game against Arizona. And he caught a ball, I think, on third down. Would have put him into field goal range. Jumps up, spins the football. And, of course, that's a penalty in college football. And they get dinged 15 yards. And he comes over and gets a good old-fashioned chewing from Mario Cristobal. Have you seen that video?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. Do you have an opinion on it?
Not a strong one. I think it's just coaching and Mario Cristobal trying to get his point across and how that sort of play can hurt the team in the most coach way possible.
Yes, yes. So if, for people who haven't seen the video, the kid comes running by him, and he's standing there waiting to be chewed on, right? Like, no, don't go anywhere. And Cristobal turns around, and he's yelling at him, and he throws his headset down the ground. It spikes up, and the soft little covering of the mouthpiece kind of brushes against the kid, gets in his face, says a couple words, and then turns, and the kid just says, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's what it looked like he said. By the way, Oregon ends up kind of opening the game up in the fourth quarter and winning going away. They remain undefeated. They remain a top five team, having this fantastic season thus far. And so this is something that only gets mentioned and noticed a couple days over. Rod Gilmore was doing the game, and he thought it was a little bit too much. A little bit too much. Or extra, as the kids like to say. I thought it was perfect coaching. I just did. I understand that in the real world, if we pull somebody aside and go, hey, man, listen. You know that catch you made when you spun the football? Could we not do that again? Can we not do that again? Would that be okay? Like, let's just not, right? Let's not spin the football. But when you're trying to actually make a point to other kids who are watching, I mean, that's part of the big issue is plenty of kids are watching. Right? Plenty of kids are watching. And I don't mean kids at home. I mean, your players on the sideline, those guys are watching. They want to see what you're doing and how you're handling it. And like, look, coaches, at some point you're going to be pushed to an area where you're going to either relent and give up on some of your values, or you're kind of going to dig in. And it felt like Cristobal chose to dig in, right? He chose to go in and but it wasn't like one of these 20-minute long, just walking back and forth, chewing a kid up and down sort of deals. Like, that's not even close to what it felt like. Player's name is Chris Hudson, by the way. And it was a nice catch. I thought it was perfect. I thought he made his point known. He got into his face. He chewed on him. He probably told him, don't you ever do that again. And the kid said, yes, sir. And now we move on. But you have Rod Gilmore who's calling the game. He's like, a little bit too much. Now he's getting super defensive. Like, well, you have a 51-year-old white man yelling at a black kid and their parents won't like it. Like, okay, listen, here's the issue. First of all, Mario Cristobal is Cuban. I don't think he would identify himself as white. And it doesn't matter who your coach is. Coach is black, coach is white, coach is Cuban, coach is Asian, coach is Hispanic. If he's a head coach and he demands your respect and you make a mistake that I'm sure they have lectured on time and again in practice, that's the part that really upsets you, right? Time and again in practice. Hey, you get a first down, put the ball down, throw it to the ref, let's line up, let's do it again. Let's let the scoreboard do our talking. Let's get the scoreboard. And the only problem with the scoreboard when you're talking, I didn't tell you guys this. So we played in a basketball tournament over the weekend, and we lost in the championship game. We got beat good by a good team, and they just made everything, and they were better than us, and they played better than us as well. We're a little out of gas. We played back-to-back games, semis, and we played really well in the semis. But in the first day, you play pool play, and my son was playing well. And, you know, kid's like, he's out at NBA range. He's like, shoot it. We're up 30 or 40. See, takes a quick three, shoots an air ball. And then the kid's still running his mouth to him, calling him trash. And my son's like, look at the scoreboard. Now, here's what. So I took him out of the game and I said, here's the problem. You can't talk trash when you shoot an air ball. Like, that's a rule. So, yeah, we're winning by 40. It's like, okay, but when you shoot an air ball, that's when you have to just suck it up and wait till you score the next bucket. And then you can say something. Byer, do you agree with that philosophy? That I'm not anti-trash talking, but just know.
Time and place.
Time and place.
Yes.
And his point was like, hey, scoreboard's all that matters. I was like, yeah, except for the fact that 40 points. But the bigger point is we'll do these things where it's like Mario Cristobal, because he's not black, he can't yell at a player who clearly lacked the personal self-discipline in order to make the right play. Like, why? What if you think that's the proper way to teach a young person, like, they're going to have a much rougher life. Much rougher life. The best way to explain it is this. My college coach at Oklahoma State, the late, great Eddie Sutton, used to say, like, man, this is going to be the hardest thing you're ever going to do. Right, we'd have practice at 7 in the morning, 2-a-days in season, fully taped, getting after it. Hour and a half, like, ugh, just the worst, right? And he would say, this is the hardest thing. And you know what? It's true. It's absolutely true. And where I have, when I have failed as a person, it's in my personal self-discipline, not any of that. It's not talent related at all. And that's what coaches coach. And I'm sure if you're Mario Cristobal and you're sitting there going like, hey, look, we're lucky we're playing a team that's not good enough to beat us. Right, that's the truth. Arizona's not good enough to beat him. But Oregon's not playing the season just to beat Arizona. They're playing the season to win the whole enchilada. That can legitimately happen. But it can't happen if you have mental errors or if you lack personal self-discipline. Whether it's Stanford next week or Cal in 3 weeks or, you know, when they play UCLA on October 23rd at the Rose Bowl. All of these things, I mean, it can cause something to go awry. So funny. I don't know anybody who looks at that thing and is like, oh, way over the top. Some people don't like yelling. I don't like yelling. You know what you probably shouldn't do? You probably shouldn't play high-level sports. It's a lot of yelling. There's a bunch of guys. There's a yelling from the sideline. There's yelling from the stands. They're yelling in somebody's ear. And to get my point across, I got to yell. I know I get texts all the time, like, what happened to your voice? Like, I was yelling over the weekend. Why are you yelling at kids? Because one, you're in a gym with like 9 games going on at once with whistles and bells. They can't hear you. And two, they don't actually listen otherwise. They just don't.
You know, Doug, it's another dynamic as well. Oregon and Ohio State obviously played a few weeks ago and Oregon won that game. And you look at what happened at Oregon and then you look at what happened at Ohio State this past weekend when a player quit at halftime. And then Ryan Day after the game is being asked questions about, you know, is this a bigger problem within the program? And he said, no, this, you know, didn't feel that way. It seemed that this was an isolated incident. I think to your point of how the player from Oregon just even responded, and maybe it's more of a personal thing as well for that player, but when you're getting a butt chewing to stand there and take it, and to your point to say, yes, sir, understanding the situation that you were wrong and then how you react in that situation, I think says a lot as well about Oregon's program and where they are as a coach and where they are as a team, just to see how that young man responded to doing something wrong and then being criticized for it.
Completely agree. When you played football, and if people don't know, Byer was a DB. When you played, when I played as a kid, it was always yes or no, sir, with coaches in football. Like, I thought that was one of the things about football I always liked, is that it was always yes or no, sir, with coaches, right? And if you're, like, on the sideline, if you're not standing up, you're on one knee, right? You're on one knee. Your helmet's always on. Like, there's just certain football things that you just do.
Sure.
And it's like, look, in basketball, you do a lot of running. You're like, why are we doing running? Like, we're not. It's like the whole Jamal Tinsley famously said when he got to Iowa State, like, man, I ain't no track team, right? But like the running and the getting there on time is teaching you personal self-discipline. It's teaching you work ethic. And like, we used to draw on that all the time. Like, look, man, I know you're tired, but you think these dudes were up at 6 a.m. running out on the track, right? You think these guys had to do 5 and 5s? You think these guys had to do 25s, the hardest workout like you can ever do? And I'm sure everybody has their thing they do, but we used to draw on that. And it teaches you mental toughness. It teaches you self-discipline. So I do actually believe, and look, I'm not for over the top, you know, where you're almost bullying a kid, where he's into tears and he feels bad and he's over there on the sideline, you pull him out. I mean, like, look, if we really want to say old school, my dad coached with Ralph Miller at Oregon State, and he would have freshmen start the season. There's a kid named Ricky Berry. I don't know if you guys remember Ricky Berry. Ricky Berry was a star at San Jose State, but he started at Oregon State, transferred to San Jose State, then was a first-round draft pick of the Sacramento Kings. And this is like 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago. He actually killed himself. He went through massive depression. But when he was at Oregon State as a freshman, Ralph Miller started him like the first month of the season. Then when he'd get mad at him, he benched him and then just sat him at the end of the bench and didn't talk to him for a month. You know, and like, he'll figure it out. And yeah, he figured out, I got to leave and transfer to San Jose State where he's an All-American. But the point is that there's all different ways to do it. You got to know the kid and you got to build a program with the type of leadership and discipline that you see best. And I'm not for over the top pointing in a kid's face, just riding him down the bench. And every time you come past him, MFing him, like, that's too much. This did not appear anywhere near the line, let alone being over the line. Ramos, you want to get on this?
I was just going to say something as well. There also seems to be this point, Doug, where there's college players, college athletes, like, feel like, I feel that they're being put in this blur, this gray area, because we can criticize pros and all the time, but we don't want to do it with high school athletes. Like, you're not going to boo a kid that's playing high school. It's not going to happen. But even maybe a little bit with the Spencer Rattler thing that we talked about, there seems to be this kind of gray area. But what I also think is gray is that even though you're 19 and 20 and 21 years old, maybe 18 years old and playing college sports, you're still 18, 19, 20, or 21. So you do know kind of, you know, there's things that you're still learning, but there is a little bit more responsibility. And that's why I point out, you know, to the kid, and the kid's going to remember it. I remember, Doug, I played high school basketball as well. My junior year, we practiced all week, denying ball, denying ball, denying ball. We played a game. I got a reach in foul because guess what I didn't do?
Deny the ball.
Deny the ball. And it was right in front of our bench. And I didn't think that the coach was going to come out and do anything to me. But I still remember being yelled at, like screamed at, because we had worked on it all week and I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Yeah,
I don't take it personally. It resonated with me.
No, you know? That's how I have evolved coaching kids. And I coach young, pretty young kids, you know, like it started like 11s, 12s and 13s and 14-year-old kids is mostly what I coach. We have younger teens, but I'm a little much for them and I'll coach them in practices. But you know, now I'm to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to yell at you unless I asked you and then told you and then told you again what to do and you still didn't do it. You know, it's funny you talk about denying the ball, right? There's different types of denial. There's like full face guard is the ball is here and my back is to you and I'm making you throw the ball over the top. And end of games, that's how we want to guard and we'll put a guy in as a center fielder, right? And you call a timeout, like full face guard, don't let your guy catch, switch every screen, make him throw the ball over the top. They beat you long, that's fine. We got a guy there long. Don't guard the inbounds. And inevitably, every time, it's like, I got the, you're like, we're not guarding the inbounds. What am I here for? You know? Mm-hmm. What am I here for? But so that's when you have to kind of raise the level to the level of attention. And sometimes you got to wake them up because they're asleep. There's a lot of different elements to it, which I find amusing, and then I find concerning when there are guys who are legit football analysts who have spent their lives in the sport that apparently dismiss how hard it is to coach in a discipline like young men. Like, you remember when you were 17, like, we were all idiots, right? We were not thinking about the things that the coaches wanted us thinking about all the time. So, yes, Ramos, you want to get in? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that what you just said about resonate with kids. You know, every coach knows their players more than the play-by-play announcer or the TV announcer knows. You know your players. When I coached high school softball, I knew what girls I could get on more as far as their defense or offense. I knew which girls I could back off more, and they'd get the same out of. Not every kid is the same. You can't treat them the same. You have an overall idea of how the team is run, and there's rules that the team has to apply by. But each individual player, as a coach, you know them better than anybody else knows, and you run it that way. And so when you said if he, Coach Cristobal knew that player, probably knew that he could say that to that player, and he got the respect back from that player, and that's more than anything that a TV play-by-play or radio play-by-play can make some opinion about something he just sees randomly on the field.
Yeah, Rod Gilmore's response, I said, you know, Saban does this all the time. I don't care if Saban or any other coach does it. This is Rod Gilmore from ESPN. It makes it personal and embarrasses the kid and his family. Do that in private. Sit him on the bench publicly. Easier way to enforce team culture. Poll black coaches about this. He's making it clearly about race, but it is not. Okay? If that's how you want to discipline your team that way, you get your own team and you discipline them that way. But I've told you guys all preseason long, all season long, we ain't doing that pointing for a first down, spinning the football crap. We work way too hard to get a first down. Everybody else, 10 other guys, were blocking for you, and a quarterback throws you the ball, and then you ruin it by spinning the ball. Like when you've lectured time and again on it, and a guy doesn't do it, and you get onto him, you didn't embarrass the kid. The kid embarrassed the kid. You didn't embarrass his family. The kid embarrassed his family. Like we do all this thing and moving around, and like, no, sometimes you screw up. Sometimes you screw up. Sometimes you're going to be bad. That happens. You're just not good. Okay. Happens. That is going to happen. You are going to do something stupid. You know? But if you do it multiple times or you do it after a coach is... And this is a very controllable thing. Anyway. By the way, a big welcome in to our new affiliate. We got an FM, 93.5 and 1450 AM. This is in Jersey. Hello, Jersey! In New Brunswick, New Jersey. They're also the home of Rutgers football and basketball. Jack Myatt, thanks so much for putting us on air. We'll try not to screw it up. We do talk about sports most of the time. Occasionally, we did a great Springsteen segment, wasn't it? We probably shouldn't say what we said about Springsteen since we're on Jersey now, guys. But since we all admitted to not really being Springsteen guys, but that was one of the better segments we've done. I think I actually did I text all you guys or did I just text Beyer that I thought that was about as good a radio as we've done?
No, you sent the group text to the team and okay. We all concurred. It was a nice segment. It was organic and natural.
It was organic and natural. A lot like a salad. Yeah. Salad organic. I want to get to this Rams win. God, I watched a lot of football yesterday. Jay Stu, where'd you watch?
Where did I watch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right in my living room.
Okay. What was your setup like?
I typically go for the poor man's sports bar look where you got the big screen with the Chargers, and then you got the red zone on a computer to the left, and then the CBS feed or Fox feed on the other one. So three screens at once.
You have your own three-screen thing, or do you do like a Jimmy Rigged only on Sunday, wires everywhere, computer three-string?
Yeah, it's the latter. It's definitely a Sunday thing.
And then, Beyer, do you leave the baby and then come watch at work, or do you stay at home and watch and then drive in?
No, I've got my own setup because I do the show actually from home as well.
We're giving away trade secrets.
I have three screens as well, but I have the NFL mix on one of the channels.
Here's the difference between Beyer and the rest of us. You had Ryder Cup on one of those screens.
That is correct. That is correct.
I was thinking of you when I tweeted that yesterday. I was like, how many screens would I have to get to Ryder Cup?
Well, there were 9 games, 8 of them on the mix, and Saints-Patriots wasn't on the mix, so I had to put Saints-Patriots on one of the TVs and then Ryder Cup on the other, so we were covered.
What a fascinating day in the NFL. All right, we'll get to it. Plus, I'll give you and I know we have Monday night tonight. I want to get to Dallas and Philly. Well, I'll give you our picks as well. But coming up next, Brady versus Belichick is going to dominate this week. And I'm going to have the best and probably deemed to be worst take on it. I think it's the best. And they'll have people go like, ratio, lame-o. but it's the best take.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Look at you going Jersey. Like, you just sell out quickly, Ramos. Ramos is so happy. Dodgers are playing unbelievable baseball. Still think they'll be in the wild card, which, what a disaster for baseball if they lose in the wild card, right? Like, you want to talk about an abject, like, with the best intention ever. And they'll have, you're going to have Red Sox Yankees, which will be an amazing watch.
Well, Doug, just think about this. In 1 week, I was telling this to Jason Stewart, the Dodgers, one of the hottest teams in baseball, the Giants, the first place team, haven't lost in a while, 101 games, and the Cardinals, who've won, what, 15 games in a row, could all be eliminated in 1 week. I bet baseball is going to enjoy that one. Right, because the Dodgers would play the Cardinals, let's say, so one of them's going to go. Then they would play the Giants, another one's going to go. So you'd have what, one of the three best teams in baseball at this time gone in 1 week of the MLB playoffs.
That is crazy. I mean, look, Dodgers feels bigger than anything else, right? It really does. The Dodgers being out feels bigger than the Giants, bigger than the Cardinals. No matter how much Cardinals own the Midwest in terms of fandom. The Dodgers are defending World Series champions, and they would have won over 100 games. And to be out just one game in would be terrible.
True, but the point is that these are three of the best teams in baseball at this moment, and they
what
do
we play
be,
162 for if they're all going to be gone
exactly
in a week? That part that's a bit of a yeah. Everybody says they like the NCAA tournament until the top teams get eliminated.
That's true too.
Think about when are the wild card games, Byer?
It's Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, I believe.
I mean, think about the run we're going to have here. Okay, so Saturday you have Arkansas, Georgia. Obviously, Michigan, Wisconsin doesn't have the same.
Ole Miss,
you have
Alabama.
Ole Miss, Alabama, right? Ole Miss, Alabama. Speaking of our new affiliate, Ohio State taking on Rutgers. Greg Schiano, only a 15-point dog at home in New Brunswick to Ohio State, right? Stanford, Oregon. Oklahoma, K-State, which, you know, K-State was bad this weekend, but they've given Oklahoma problems before. But anyway, those are the games Saturday. Sunday, unbelievable slate again in the NFL, right? Which the premier game, the one that everybody's going to talk about, is Tampa taking on the New England Patriots. And then Monday night, so you'll have Saturday, great. Sunday, great. Monday, Raiders taking on the Chargers in L.A. That'll be a Raiders home game. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, you got wild card baseball. You can have your summer. Have your summer. I'll take fall. All right, here's what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to I'll give you my thoughts on Brady Belichick. Just the statement that needs to be stated. And I know is the best, smartest, most perfect take there is. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports, BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's get you to Dan Byer before I give you this epic rant. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Okay. Brady or Belichick? Byer, where are you? Brady or Belichick?
I've always been on the side of Belichick on this one, so I'll stick with Belichick.
Okay. Jay Stu, where are you? Brady or Belichick?
I'm going to be on Brady's side on this one.
Okay. John Ramos, you just saw Tom Brady in person.
I did.
Or you didn't see him in person.
I jumped the gun there. I did not see him in person.
Why don't you, next time, I mean, do you want to go to a Rams game?
I do.
Okay, why don't you tell me when you want to go to Rams game, and I will take care of you.
Okay.
Okay? You want to bring Suzanne? You want to bring your kid? Let me tell me. I'll take care of you. It will
okay.
be my
SoFi.
Pleasure. Yeah, I'm in SoFi.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not gonna do like you haven't been on a plane in 20 years, John. I'm not gonna say, John. Here, good news is I'm gonna send you to Rams Packers game. Bad news is you have to fly across the country or get in a wagon.
Honey, we're off to Green Bay.
Yes, I would love to go to Green Bay. That's gonna be a great game. Okay. So
I'll take Brady. I became a big fan of Brady after the last Super Bowl with Tampa Bay because I think people just continue to jump on his back, and the guy actually like continues to win. So I'll take Brady on this one.
Tom Brady is an amazing player. Okay, He is an amazing, amazing player. And Bill Belichick is an amazing coach. And here's the definitive. You don't need to go anywhere else. And if you do, this might not be the show for you. And it doesn't mean that somebody's opinion who gives it on the show isn't valid. Like all these guys, you have your opinion. I get it. Okay. But I mean, this, no coach has ever done it without players. Nobody's ever done it without players. But if you think that any coach can do it, give me the all-time great player, and I will show you, likely, if they won more than one, the all-time great coaches that's behind them, right? Like, Michael Jordan played for a couple other coaches, and Doug Collins is a really good coach, but Phil Jackson was the first guy to have the balls to go, hey, dude, we're going to take you off the ball some, roll you into the post, play it in the triangle, make you move the basketball. Shaq and Kobe were together for, I think, what, 4 years? And every year it would end the same, right? And fighting over the basketball. Call in Phil Jackson, and that changed. Joe Montana played for Bill Walsh, who is the architect of the greatest offense in the last 30 years in the NFL in terms of consistency of productivity and how many times it's been copied 10 times over. Like, if you don't think there's something to Bill Belichick, who took over his first year, he takes over. Okay, they win 5 games. His second year with Brady, he won a Super Bowl. They won 11. A 6-game improvement. And if you think that was like a lot of it was Brady, he was a really good player, but he was just like, don't lose him the game. And what you got to keep in mind when Brady was actually at his peak athletically, they didn't win a Super Bowl. I remember they add Randy Moss. They win 16 games. They win 18 and get all the way to the Super Bowl, lose to the Giants. Then Brady gets hurt. So Matt Castle's starting quarterback. By the way, they still won 11 games with Matt Castle. This is what they did with Castle, with Brady, up until last year. And even last year, winning 7 games with 8 opt-outs and losing the greatest quarterback in franchise history, the winningest quarterback in NFL history. 5 wins, 11, 9 wins. And by the way, Brady was the quarterback the year they won 9 wins in 2002. Okay. That was after their first Super Bowl. 14, 14, 10, 12, 16, 11, 10, 14, 3, 13, 12, 12, 12, 12, 14, 13, 11, 12. Oh, by the way, go look at the defensive rankings from any of those years. Were there some years where the defense wasn't great? Absolutely. But for the most part, the defense, when they were winning, was the top 5 defense. You know, their first three Super Bowls, okay, their points allowed in the NFL were 6th, best, and 2nd best. That's why they won. When they finally won a fourth Super Bowl in 2014, you know, was Brady a huge part of it? Yes. Their defense, in points allowed per game, it was they were 8th. In total yards gained, they were 2nd. It goes hand in hand. So the clear answer is both. And yeah, Tom Brady was awesome last year, and he may be a little less awesome this year. And I don't put the blame on, like, I could have told you I saw this thing coming. When you have a bunch of guys, an organization that's never won before, a head coach that's never won before, they're not just all going to be able to follow the lead of Tom Brady after winning because he's so used to continuing to just do his job and be the same. For his life didn't change at all. Everybody else's life, complete change. All those other guys went from has-beens or maybe they won one somewhere else to now you're a champion. Tom Brady, he won a bunch before he got there. He won 6 before he got there. He won his 7th. Nothing's changed. People call him the GOAT before. People call him the GOAT after. Not zero has changed. But you don't know how that's going to affect the coaches, the players, front office, the fans. Everybody changes with that amount of success when you haven't had the success before. You know who didn't change and was able to be consistently successful? That's right, Bill Belichick. I didn't say Bill Belichick was more important than his players, but Bill Belichick found a way to manage all those players for a long time. Salary caps, egos, getting to play together, getting to play hard. And if Mac Jones, who didn't play well yesterday, if Mac Jones ends up becoming the guy, I think even more of Belichick. You know how hard it is to replace a superstar, all-time great quarterback? Yes, Green Bay did it with Rodgers replacing Favre. Yes, Steve Young did it replacing Joe Montana. But both ticked off the other guy, whereas they couldn't leave Jimmy Garoppolo to be the guy in New England. The salary cap contracts didn't work, and neither of the egos would allow it. The only answer you should really have in the middle is the exact middle. Become a radical centrist just like me. Is Tom Brady awesome? Yes. His fatal flaw is if he gets somebody kind of at his feet and he's not comfortable in that pocket, he can sometimes not be great. Is Bill Belichick great? Yes. His fatal flaw is, he can't really evaluate the wide receiver position. He's okay out of the draft. Unbelievable in the waiver wire and at developing guys and finding what he wants in players. Six Super Bowls, Brady or Belichick, there's two possible answers. Both or yes. Otherwise, you're picking a side, which I don't think there's a clear and decisive winner. It's not close. All right, coming up next, you want to hear what Brady Quinn has to say about Matt Nagy and Justin Fields. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Because the crossings, the signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Stop if you can't see a train. Even if you can't see a train paid for by NHTSA. Gosh, my reading was terrible right there. That was somebody at NHTSA sitting there going, oh, this is bad, bad. Let's get to what the Fox
said. And now.
What does the Fox
so
say?
Here's what we do. We assign, do we have no-name people that are working now, back working, because we cut all the no-name people because we weren't allowed in with COVID stuff. Do we have those worker people, or is this just simply Ramos out in there grinding every day?
We have editors here, myself and Jason, yeah.
No interns yet, though, right?
No. I don't know if we're ever, I don't want to say that for sure. We'd love to have interns back at some point, but not right now, I guess.
I'm okay on the interns. We're not some law. We're not allowed to send them and get coffee or food for us.
That is true. Yeah, we can't do that. But many of our
we have the only interns that are ever not. It's not that we don't ask them. They're not allowed to. So you don't ask them, right? Because you don't want to get them in trouble or yourself in trouble.
Right.
And never heard of that before.
And I think the internship program is a wonderful thing. Many of our interns have gone on to become in the business and their own shows. And so I think it is wonderful.
Several of them served time, but came out even more productive. even more productive. All right, let's get to what the, anyway, we have those editors. They search far and wide, and they keep coming up with good cuts from Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, our new morning show. That's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Joe is Jonas Knox. So Two Pros, Cup of Joe. And they were talking about the Bears offense.
Now that we're far enough down the road, and I'm not saying that Mitchell Trubisky, I'm not saying he played his best football and it was all on the team. It wasn't him. He struggled at times. He did. But I don't know that Matt Nagy really played and worked to his strengths. And I think that's one of the issues that I see with this Bears offense is if you're going to take Justin Fields, you should essentially be talking to Ryan Day at Ohio State. Mm. It's saying, give me your playbook. Let me run this so that I can, or at least 80%, 70% of this, and let me do this so I can ensure that Justin Fields knows day one our offense of what we're going to do. I think even though Matt Nagy's younger, I think in his mind, what he's asking Justin Fields to do is an old school mindset where they're saying, no, we drafted you. You come in, you sit, you watch and adapt to what we do. If that's going to be the case, so be it. But he hasn't had time to be able to sit and watch long enough behind Andy Dalton. And now he's thrust into play, and it's going to look ugly because he's still learning this new offense.
First of all, nobody knows that more than Brady in terms of understanding a new offense and having to learn it and how much time you need. I mean, I don't, but these narratives don't match up. We put coaches in an impossible situation. You may think Matt Nagy's not a good coach. I don't know. I know him a little bit. I enjoyed my time with him. I have zero idea if he's a great coach. He's made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, and he's done so with very average at best quarterback play. Is that an outstanding defense? I don't think the defense is as good as it's been. It looks old. It looks slow. His organization won a new quarterback. Right? They had Andy Dalton, and they probably could have used that first-round pick or spread out, traded out of it, gotten a bunch of picks, but Justin Fields fell in their lap. Like, first of all, Justin Fields fell in the draft, you know, from being the number one prospect because he's not that refined. He's not. He did throw to wide-open guys at Ohio State. So on one hand, we all realize that he needs more time and seasoning to understand the NFL offense, the schemes, what he's looking at defensively, where to get rid of the ball, and he's holding it a tick too long, holding it more than a tick too long. On the other hand, there's this screaming urge to push him to play. And the truth is they should have started Nick Foles, right? Because Foles is playing that offense. He won a Super Bowl. Is he great? No, but at least he knows what he's doing. Where now you're like, okay, are we going to pull Fields? Or are we going to let him play through this mess? They knew he wasn't ready. They knew it. But everyone would play him. Well, you know what you should do is once your guy gets hurt, you're going to play him. You should put him in the college offense. Like, wait, what? I know Brady Papinga joined us and he's like, look, remember RG3? They put him in that Baylor offense and he was great. Yeah, one, then he got hurt. Two, you can't play that way long term. Lamar Jackson is the first guy to be able to play that way long term. And you want to be honest about, like, we can say whatever we want to say about Lamar and how good he was going back to Sunday night. Yeah, running the football. They didn't do much against the Lions. And that's the Lions, one of the least talented teams in the league. They play hard, but one of the least talented teams in the league. But you have Matt Nagy who comes over from Kansas City, and do you think they taught Pat Mahomes his college offense? Now, Pat Mahomes threw much more running the air raid in college, but they taught him his offense. And then he sat the whole year until the final week of the season where he played. He didn't play in the playoffs, and then he starts the next year, and he's the MVP. Now, that doesn't mean that Justin Fields would be the MVP, but that was the plan. And because of injuries and all of these outside voices, you got to play him. Here we are. Do we have time for Skip Bayless? Yeah, well, this is Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp on Undisputed talking about Pat Mahomes.
I think you didn't really mention your guy, Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
you didn't really go in on it.
I said Patrick Mahomes cannot turn the ball over when your defense is that bad. They had four of them. And he had, the pick to Kelsey. I mean, they're talking about with a no-look pass, Skip. The receiver doesn't know it's no look. It doesn't matter if he's looking or not. Okay. You just catch the ball when he throws it to you.
All right. I've been saying this for the last 4 years on this show. Patrick Mahomes cannot keep getting away with playing the way he plays.
He's right. I don't agree with Skip often, but I've said that. Like the Patrick Mahomes throwing no-look passes, the Patrick Mahomes forcing things, running for his life, and just making throws, like, that's great, but that is risky. Risky quarterback behavior. And what's it lead to? High turnovers. And nothing loses a football game like a turnover.